Isaiah 42. I'm going to read just a few verses in the first, and then on over in the chapter we'll read. Speaking of, if we look at it naturally, I believe you could say that this chapter is speaking of Cyrus. If we look at it spiritually, it's speaking of Jesus. Okay? So naturally, there's going to be a deliverance of God's people through Cyrus. They're going to be delivered out of Babylon. But as the writer goes on in this chapter, you'll see that Cyrus really can't do all of this work. That it's going to take a work of Christ to do this work. So bear that in mind. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect. You know, Cyrus was prophesied of, and even his name, I believe it was 171 or 76 years before he ever came to power, his name was already named, that he was going to deliver the children of Israel out of Babylon. I tell you now, that's a work of God, isn't it? Isn't that a choice of God? Thank the Lord for it. I have put my spirit in him, a pagan now. He put a spirit of deliverance, a spirit to deliver the people of Israel out of Babylon. And he was a pagan. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up his nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth. And the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith the God, the Lord that created the heavens and stretcheth them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that breaketh unto that that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit unto them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light unto the Gentiles. We could go on. There's just no way that you can get around the Old Testament scripture that's going to tell us that this is Jesus Christ. I want to look a little farther. Verse number 17 and following, just a few verses. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, you are our gods. Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servants, seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not? The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this people is robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth them, for a spoil, and none saith restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom they have sinned? For they would not walk in his way, neither were they obedient unto his law. Therefore he had poured upon them the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and it has set him round on him on fire round about, yet he knew it not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. I know that's a lot of reading, and maybe a lot of things that are hidden or mysterious, But the whole of the chapter is God's deliverance through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe we could look at this and we see it in the first few verses. Verse 7 and 8, we could read that in the book of Luke, that here is a light shining out of darkness. Here is the Lord delivering out of prison. Here is the Lord's deliverer, the mighty hand of God. So he goes on to say in verse number 10, sing unto the Lord a new song and praise to the end of the earth. So not only is Israel going to be delivered, but in verse 9, 10, or 10, 11, and 12, we see this, that the whole world is going to be delivered through Christ. Verse 10, to the ends of the earth, go down to the sea, go down to the isles and the inhabitants. Let the wilderness and the cities, you know, not just the metropolis, but even in the wilderness, there's going to be deliverance. Not only in Jerusalem, where the law and the prophets were, but down in Ethiopia. Isn't it amazing that we hear today, well, what about those people over in Africa that's never heard the gospel? Well, the Ethiopian eunuch took the gospel down to Africa long before it ever came across the ocean to America. To the wilderness. This word of God has gone out to the wilderness. This word of God has gone out to places that were unlikely. I mean unlikely places. What about Corinth? Why, if we read the two books that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, you talk about a people that was engrossed in idolatry and living in wickedness. But the gospel came to them and it made a change in their lives. What about Ephesus, where that great goddess Diana was? That temple with 127 pillars, and they were continually offering them little silver shrines to Diana, and the gospel came to Ephesus. And Galatia, all of these heathen places, the word of God has come. And these people have been changed. Let the wilderness, verse 11, and the cities thereof lift up their voices, the village that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Those people down in Petra, those people that you would have thought, well, those people, there's no way that the gospel will ever come to them. Look how remote, look how removed they are. But the word of God came to them. So he's telling us to give praise. The Lord shall go forth, verse 13, as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar, he shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holden my peace. I've been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I would say, all of you men that have been around or in the delivery room when your wife give birth to a child, you've heard the screams of a travailing woman. God is saying this, the time that I've kept silent, the time that I've held my peace, the time that I've not said anything, I believe he said it over in the book of Romans, he said that time of forbearance. In the book of Acts, he said the time of ignorance God winked at. But you know, that time has passed. There's come, not to contradict, but to complement what has been said this morning in the Sunday school, the time of judgment has come. And it's not me judging you or you judging me, but we're going to be judged by Almighty God. We're going to be judged by, I believe you could say it like this, by the Word of God that was made flesh and dwelt among us. And this is what really struck my heart. Bear with us just another minute or two and we'll try to get to what's on our mind. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up the herbs. And I will make the rivers islands, and I will dry up the pools. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not, and I will lead them in the paths which they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. Those things will I do unto them and not forsake them. You know something? There's a heathen people out here that God has brought His word to. There's a people that were blind to the ways of God. There is a people in our community this day that are blind to the ways of God. That's the truth. You might not believe it, and a lot of people would argue with you, but there's people right here in this community that have never heard the gospel. Oh, preacher, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. You better get it in context. You better get it in context. That's all types of men. And Titus, all types. Young, old, men, women, masters and slaves, the grace of God that bringeth salvation. I'm talking about a grace of God that has a fruition. I'm not talking about a possibility. I'm talking about the grace of God that bringeth to fruition of salvation. And if you'll read the rest of that chapter, if you'll read three chapters in the book of Titus, you'll see what the scope of that whole message is. If you're saved, there's a life to be lived that'll prove that you're saved. That's the scope of the whole book of Titus. But what I want to get at is this. The grace of God and the gospel has gone into unlikely places and brought about a work and brought about a finish that was absolutely amazing and brought praise unto God. Isn't it wonderful? I just say for me, thank God the Word of God came to me one day. An unlikely somebody that I would be brought into the family of God. But thank God by His grace and by the work of the Holy Spirit and by the working of the church, by the working of individuals, by the preaching of the gospel, by the work of the Holy Spirit through the gospel, God brought me to a place, though an unlikely candidate, though an unlikely recipient, and some of you were the same way. Some of you may have been raised in church your whole life, and some of you may have never come to church but a few weeks before God saved you. All the glory, however it might be, goes to the Lord. All the glory goes to God. And I will bring the blind by the way that they knew not. You know something, folks? Man has got in his mind a way that he's going to get to heaven. And if you ever get saved, it was something different than what you thought with your natural thinking, wasn't it? You know, it wasn't the way that I thought. I thought for 23 years of my life, I was going to get there by being a pretty good fella. I was going to get there by being better than the average. I was going to get there by my own. I tell you what I had. I had me a ledger book. Had me a ledger book. And I had all the credits on one side, all the debits on the other side. And in my ledger book of my mind, you know what I thought? Well, when I get down to the bottom line, I'm not in the red. I mean, I'm in the black. I'm going to make it in. But that wasn't the way I got in. I tell you, I come by a way that I knew not. I didn't know the grace of God. I didn't know the Word of God. I didn't know the Spirit of God. But I tell you, that's the way that I came. I came through the Lord Jesus Christ. I came through the gospel. I came by the drawing of the Holy Spirit of God. I came by conviction of my sin. I came by a way that I knew not. You know who brought that about? It wasn't my thinking. It wasn't my doing. It was the intervening work of God Almighty in my life, and He brought me by a way that I knew not. I didn't know that way.
And you know, I believe lots and lots of people have got a way figured out that they're going to make it. But it's not God's way. If I'm going to God's heaven, I'm going to have to come God's way. I don't believe you'll go and see the president or the governor without coming the right way. I believe you're going to have to come the right way. You might say, well, I'm going my way. No, you're not going to God your way. You may go to hell your way. You may go into deception your way. But if you're going to come to God, you're going to come His way. And it'll be a way that does not come to the natural thinking of man. And I want you to please think on this. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. You know something? I believe they knew that they were blind. They realized their need. They realized that there was a need there. And I don't know how they thought. I believe you could say it like this. As blind Bartimaeus was by the wayside begging, as that man lay, the lame man lay at the gate and looked on Peter and John, he was expecting to get a little something for that day. The blind man that was by the wayside begging, I believe he was expecting somebody to help him through that day. The Lord Jesus came to where he was. The Lamb of God came to where he was. And you know what he did? He told him to rise up and come. Now, can a blind man rise up and come? Can a lame man rise to his feet, take up his bed and walk? There must be a work of God that's beyond that. I don't believe that the man at the pool of Bethesda that day, I don't believe he ever thought that it would happen that way. I don't believe the blind man thought that it would happen that way. I don't believe that the lame man at the gate thought it would happen that way. But there was an empowering work of God done on the inside. I mean, how can a man that's got palsy stretch forth his hand? How does a man with palsy have a mind to think that he can stretch forth his hand? Do you see that there's a work of God going on there that is beyond the natural thinking of man? There is a power of God going on in the mind and in the heart. There's a drawing of God. No man can come unto me unless my Father which sent me draw him. There must be a working of God done in the heart of the individual that would instigate you to do what is unnatural. Is it natural for the lame man to pick up his bed and walk? Peter set his eyes on him. Look upon us. What do you think's going through the lame man's mind? He's got his little cup, maybe. Maybe he's got his hat turned over. I don't know. But what's going through the mind of the lame man at the beautiful gate when Peter says, look upon us? Would you say naturally, just entertain me for a minute or two, would you say naturally, he thought, I'm going to get something from these boys today. Surely if they say, look on us, they've got something to give me. Did Peter read his mind? Did the Holy Ghost give us the words? Silver and gold have I none. Peter read his mind? Did the Holy Ghost give him the right words? Did the Holy Ghost tell Peter what the man was thinking? Of course he did. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Take up your bed and walk.
I'll tell you what's going on, folks. Something is happening that is out of the way of the ordinary, out of the way of the natural thinking. I mean, how in the world is a man who is looking for silver and gold going to be able to get up and get up off of your seat, take up your bed and walk? Friend, this man at the beautiful gate is going to receive something. And I tell you who's doing the giving. It's He, the Holy Spirit, working in the man to instigate and to move him to do what is unnatural. You see, salvation is a work of God. Salvation is not a response of the natural man. Salvation is not coming to the preacher. Salvation is not coming to the altar. Salvation is a work of God in your heart that moves you to do what is unnatural to you normally. You would have never done that had it not been for the drawing work of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to bring the blind in a way that they knew not. I believe this is essential, that we realize our condition. We must realize that we need to be saved. We must realize that we are blind. I don't believe it's any problem for blind Bartimaeus to realize that he's blind. I don't believe there's any problem there. But for a church member, for a religious people, for a people who have learned how to come to church and how to do, I tell you, that's a hard thing to think that you could be blind. It's a hard thing to think that you could be deceived. You know, Barbara called me just a little while back and said, "Greg, 10 years I've been saved. 10 years I've been saved." How long was she lost? I'm not picking on her. I'm bragging on the Lord. I'm bragging on the Lord that the natural, I had to give way to the spiritual. That the natural, what happened in her heart, a friend, was not natural. What happened in her heart, a friend, what had naturally happened for years and years and years and years of her life, I was then in the natural sense, she was not blind. She was not lost. She didn't need a Savior. I mean, all that. And you know what's going to have to happen to me and to you? We're going to have to realize that it's going to take a supernatural work of God in the heart that we come out of our natural state and realize that we're blind spiritually. I don't believe it would be one bit of trouble if there was a cure for blindness for a blind man to show up. But for a person who thinks they can see, do you expect to see them come? Though there's a cure for blindness, if they have no conception that they need anything, will they show up at that doctor? See, here's the problem. Our natural man has got our spiritual man. We are blinded by, I believe, by several things. I believe that you could say this, that we're blinded by our heritage. You know, I can't speak for Barbara, but you know, by the statement that her own sister made, why, you've been a good person all your life, Barbara. Is that what's going to get us to heaven? But can you see? Can you see how that is so deceptive? Can you see that the heritage you were raised in? I mean, here sits a man. You talk about a man raised in a right heritage. I mean, here's uncle and here's daddy and here's the family and all of them in church. And I'm there day after day after day after day for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 18 years. And friend, here, ladies and gentlemen, there's a heritage, but there's no salvation in a heritage. There's no salvation in being a Jew. There's no salvation in being a Roman. There's no salvation in being religious. There's no salvation in your heritage. We're going to have to come to this, that we're blind and we're in need of God opening the spiritual eye. But if you're blind, I believe you'd like to have some help.
I don't believe there's any problem when blind Bartimaeus by the roadside begging, and he said, "The Master calleth for thee." My God, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that the Master calleth for thee? You know what they said? When he is a crying out, when he is a crying out, "O thou David, O thou son of David, have mercy upon me," the crowd was saying, "Pipe it down, quieten down." But you know what he was? I tell you, he's a man that has no other hope. He's a man that's heard about Jesus Christ giving sight to the blind. He's a man that's heard about Jesus Christ raising the dead. He's a man that there's nobody else can help him. Nobody else can cure him. Nobody else, you know what he's going to do? I tell you, friend, you ain't going to hold him down. You're not going to stop him from crying. You're not going to do anything that's going to dissuade him or persuade him not to cry out. His only hope is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he knows that. Our problem is we've got some other way figured out to get into heaven. We're blind, but we don't realize it. Listen to what the book says. Verse 16. "I will bring the blind by the way that they knew not. I will lead them into paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things I do for them and not forsake them." Isn't that wonderful? That God looks and sees the condition of man. And friend, you know what he's going to do? He's going to straighten out the crooked part. He's going to straighten that part. Just think with me. So a blind man is walking down a crooked road. Could that blind man possibly get killed right there? Is it possible that a blind man walking down a crooked road could be in a place, a great danger, and go off of the edge of the road? Let's say he's down there at the Tony Spur. Let's say he's down there at the Van Cliff. And he goes off of the edge and is killed. But God said, "I'm going to straighten the road out. I'm going to bring the mountain down. I'm going to bring the valley up. I'm going to make it a way that it, what he didn't know about it. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a way that he knows. I'm going to make a way that he can travel on. He didn't know the way to get to me. But you know what God did? God revealed it to him." "I will do it. These things will I do unto them." Do you see it? Do you see that it's a work of God? Do you see that it's against nature? Oh, that we could hear. That we could hear the heart. I want to read a verse and then we'll come back. Verse 23. "Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come?" I would that there would be somebody here today that would hear concerning the time to come. That would not only hear, but would hearken. You know what I always think? This is the way man is. That's for you, Josh. That's for you, Mary Ruth. That's for you, Barbara. Yeah. I never consider that it's for me. I never entertained the thought that God could be speaking about me. But notice, who among you, I ask you as we read this, is he talking to all of us? Is he not talking to everybody that's in the sound, under the sound of my voice today? Who among you?
What value would you put on genuine salvation? I'm not talking about hypocrisy. I'm not talking about an actor. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm not talking about a heritage. I'm talking about what value would you put on genuine salvation? Well, those that are among us today, all of you this morning, how would you value this? Who among you will give ear to this? I want to ask you, and we'll try to walk down through a few verses here in just a second. Will you give ear to this? Will you genuinely and honestly, I ask you today, would you please today listen to this scripture, and would you give your ear to it? Would you tune your ear to it and tune out? Tune the radio, get it off of the static, get it off of the background noise, and tune it in to what God says to us right here. Who of you will hear? Who of you in this congregation? Who among you will give ear so we can hear? But is there more? Who will hearken? Who will adhere? I believe you could say it like this. Who will glue himself to this? Who will follow this? Who will put this into practice? Would you heed to this today? Who will hear? And who will hearken and hear for the time to come? You know something? We're all here today. Thank God for what health we've got. Yeah. But you know something? There's a time to come. Are you prepared for the time to come? You better give ear, because there's a time to come. We need to hear. We need to hear today, and not just hear, but I need to hearken, and I need to listen, and I need to understand, because there's a time to come. There's a day after this. There's a world after this world. We've got this world, and we got the world to come. So I believe Isaiah is saying this: who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Will you hear for what lies ahead? I say this to you today, folks. What I want to try to expound through this little dab of the Word of God today is to prepare you for the time to come. I want you to be prepared. I don't want you to receive an unexpected end. I want to reveal unto you an expected end. But you know, it'll come by you hearing and you heeding and you thinking about a time to come. So, let's look. Verse 18. Verse 17, 18. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust. You know what's happened? We got a people that were blind. They figured it out. They're blind. God has shown them, and they've turned away from that idolatry. Their life is made new. Their life is different now. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, that say to the molded images, "You are our God." Hear. Now look, I believe verse 17 goes with the previous verses. He's going to change now. He's going to change from the blind. He's going to change from the idolaters. He's going to change from the pagans. He's going to change from the wilderness and the islands and down by the rivers. He's going to change from there to a different group of people. So let's listen, please. Hear ye deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant? Or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Who are these people? They're Israel. They're the heritage of God. They're a people, we just say it in plain terms, they are a people that has been privileged to have things that those people in those previous verses up there, they never had opportunity. They never had that chance. So he says to us, they shall be turned back. Hear, ye deaf, verse 18. and look, you blind, that you may see. Hear ye deaf, and see ye blind. Is this impossible? Why, that preacher, that looks impossible to me. It does, doesn't it? It's supposed to. He means it to. He means for us to see with a different set of eyes and to hear with a different set of ears than we've ever heard before. But notice the next verse. Who is as blind as my people? Who is as deaf as my servant? So the previous verses, we're looking at pagans. We're looking at Gentiles. We're looking at a people who have not had the opportunity, have not had the Word of God. But now we're looking, I believe you could say it like this, if we bring it down to today, now we're looking at a people that are inside the house of God. I'm not saying they're in His church. I'm saying they are in this church. They're in this building. They're in this congregation. They are in this group in verse 23. Who among you will give ear to this? You know what man does? You say that man that is religious and man that has all of these privileges and all the... I would say this. Was there any greater opportunity given to any people like was given unto the Israelites when they come out of Egypt? Look at all the plagues. Look at the deliverance through the Red Sea. Look at the destruction of Pharaoh's army. Look at all of that. And I ask you, was there anybody that had such privilege as they had? Or was nobody else but them? They had greater opportunity. They had greater witness. They had greater miracles than anybody else on the face of the earth at that time. They had it all. And it was two people from age 20 to age 50 that lived. The rest of them died in the wilderness in unbelief. Now there's a people, folks. There's a people that are my servants that are blind. There is a people that are my messengers that are blind. And I believe that comes right down to today. I believe it comes down today. Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. I believe he could say it like this. Look, you deaf. He's saying, I want you to search. I want an attentive, careful, anxious search. Let me tell you this. If I have no anxiety about my health, you need not expect me to go to the doctor. But if there's anxiety about my health, I'm going to the doctor. I'm going to have a test. And I am waiting. I may be anxious. I may be patient. I don't know how. If I think it's really serious, I'm probably going to be quite anxious about it. But I'm looking for, I'm waiting on, I'm desiring a word that I might be able to understand what my real condition is. And if you today have no realization of your condition before God, if you are blind, and notice now, notice who He's talking to. He's talking to a people that are His people that are blind. He's talking to a people that are His people that are deaf. He's not saying that spiritually. He's saying that naturally. That naturally speaking, they're His people, but they're deaf. They're His people, but they're blind. They are a people, and He says, I want you to look. I want you to look anxiously. I want you to look carefully. Oh my God, our friend, don't you reckon, our friend, health-wise, I bet we want the doctor to do a thorough search. You know, Heather told me that her mother got a great report. William Roy told me a couple of weeks ago, went to the doctor, done probably a PET scan to show up any cancer anywhere in the body. No sign of it. Isn't that wonderful news? But would you say that there was anxiety in both of those lives? Was there a waiting? Would you say it? Doc, I want you to go over it with a fine-tooth comb. How much more should we go over in our mind and our lives with a fine-tooth comb whether we're really saved or not? You see, our prejudice our prejudice of being in church, our prejudice of making some trip to the altar, our prejudice of our heritage, that makes us blind to the condition we're really in. Who is as blind as my people? Who is as blind as my servant? Oh, I'll tell you what it does. Friend, you think about this, that the Lord Jesus Christ did miracles that nobody else could do. He raised the dead, gave sight to the people that were born blind. A friend that raised Lazarus, whose his sister said by now he stinketh. And you know what they did? They crucified him because of the blindness that was in their heart. You can sit right here in the church house Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and have a prejudice, have a preconceived idea and think that you're right with God, and friend, God come by and say, whom among you? Who among you will you hear this? Who among you will you take heed to these words? Who among you? I'm speaking to you about things to come. Ladies and gentlemen, if we're not prepared, know this, that the end is coming and we're still blind. But all the blessings. How many people went to the doctor feeling fine? Unexpectedly got a report that they were deathly sick. When the doc looked deeper than the surface, when the doc did a blood work that is the life of the body, when the doctor looked on the inside and not only looked on the inside, but he looked beyond the inside, he looked in the blood. He looked inside the blood, and friend, there was revealed unto us a condition that was detrimental. But you know what we were naturally? We were blind to it. Had no realization of it. Again, listen to these words, please. Who is blind but my servant? Who is deaf as my messenger? Who is blind as he that is perfect? That word there, it means to be safe, complete, finished. Are we? Are we finished? Are we safe? Are we complete? I read in the book of Colossians, you are complete in Him. As our brother was reading this morning, you know what judgment is coming? Judgment is coming. And if I'm judged in me, there's no hope. If you're judged in you and judged by your works, there'll be no hope. But because of our association with the church, because of our heritage, because of our prejudice, because of some move we made back through the years, we do not see. I mean, the Lord said, who's as blind as my people? Who's as deaf as my people? I tell you what happened. I'd say it's probably like being down at the daycare. You go in there the first day and it about busts your head. And you think, I don't know how in the world I'm going to make it. Day 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 10 goes by and you go into the middle of the daycare on the third week, and you know what? All that screaming, all that hollering, all that pitching a fit doesn't affect you a bit more than the man in the moon. You have accustomed yourself. God, the people that God has blessed with greater revelation, greater miracles. I'll say this, miracles that are spiritual and miracles that are natural. People that God has done a work in spiritually that changed them naturally, you've been able to look at their lives and see. And by the hope and by the help and by the work of the Holy Spirit, I believe there's been lives that's given testimony of what God has done, and you've been a witness to that. You've seen the change. You've felt the Spirit. You've understood that God has done a work in them. And friend, because we've said in the midst of it over and over again, we've become callous to it. You know, you can set a fire alarm off or one of the smoke detectors at my house. I guarantee you I'm going to jump out of the bed immediately. But you let that go off day after day after day, and I'll pay no attention to it. And man will die in his sins. You see, here we sit. Here we sit today with a smoke alarm going off. It's what the book says. The book says this. The book said, and set him on fire round about, yet he knew it not, and it burned him, and he laid it not to heart. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing that God comes by with his word and pricks our heart? God comes by with his word and challenges us. God comes by with his word and says, look here, son, right here is where you're at. Right here is where you are. And you know what man does? Man passes it off and he says, well, I'll be all right. You may be all right here, and you may be able to get out from under the preacher, and you may be able to get out the door, but know this, there's a time to come. You better hear, and you better heed for the time to come. Is there been a blinder people than the Jews? Vaughn's shaking his head no. I believe there's a blinder, Vaughn. I believe there's a people that the Holy Ghost has come by. I'm not saying that to be ugly. But I'm saying this. You and I have had a greater revelation than they had, haven't we? God is God. They had the Old Testament. Types and shadows and mysteries and a word that was hidden. But you know what you and I have? We have Jesus Christ who has come and give us 27 books in the New Testament. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us men to be able to proclaim the Word of God. We've got a greater revelation today and a people that is blind today. Who's as blind as my people? Who's as blind as my servants? It's a scary thing to think how blind that the devil has got our people. How deceived that man is. I mean, you come by with the Word of God and challenge a life and ask them where the witness of the Holy Spirit is, and people say, I'm all right. I tell you where you are. You're blind and don't even know it. You're deceived and don't even know it. Here we sit in the house of God with greater opportunity, greater privilege, greater revelation than any. I believe we could say it like this as far as understanding the Word and rightly dividing and expounding. I believe a greater revelation than maybe any generation ever. But I say there's more people dying and going to hell today. If there's 8 billion people on the earth, would you say there's more people going out to meet God every hour that are lost than ever has been? I don't know the answer to that, but I do believe this. I believe we got a greater revelation. I believe there's a greater revelation right here at this church than there are in other places. I believe there is a greater revelation through the Word of God, the proclamation, the teaching of the Sunday school, of the preaching hour. I believe there's a greater revelation of what God is saying to us through His Word than there are in many other places. But we sit here blind. Who is as blind? You mean there's degrees of blindness? I'd say naturally that's true, wouldn't you? You know, I don't know where our brother's at right here, but he's been going to the eye doctor for month on month on month and month. And you know, he says that maybe he's a little bit better. I wonder, are we any better today? Or are we blinder than we were? Have we shut our eyes? Would you say this? That there is a greater blindness by shutting my eye? Than there is my eye being opened. If my mind, my mind's eye, my heart's eye, if I shut out the message of Isaiah chapter 42, how blind is that? I would rather have no sight and never see the sun again
as to be blind in my heart, to be deceived by my own doing. He said over in Matthew, they have shut their eyes and stopped their ears, trusting in who they were, trusting in their heritage, trusting in church, trusting in baptism, trusting in being a good person. I ask you this, friend, if you are such a good person, why did Jesus Christ have to die? Why did the Son of God come to this world and die on the cross of Calvary? By the Word of God, God laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Have you had your iniquities laid on Him? Not in your blindness, you haven't. No, I'll tell you, you're going to have to realize you have iniquities. You're going to have to realize that you need a Savior. You're going to have to realize you do need help. You're going to have to realize that on your own and with your own doings, you will never be able to satisfy the righteousness of God. What words that these are. Hear you deaf, look you blind, that you may see. Isn't that amazing? I liken it to Lazarus. I liken it to the man with palsy. Stretch forth thy hand. A word of God comes that penetrates the heart. A word of God comes to a dead man in a tomb, makes him alive, that he can respond to the word of God. That's what has to happen to you. Would you be willing to hear? Preacher, you just said I was dead. I'm asking you, would you be willing to hear? Would you be willing to realize your condition before God? I believe this. You ladies, you get up tomorrow morning and you take a shower and you feel a lump in your breast, I believe you'll be called to the doctor tomorrow. You men, you're taking a shower in the morning and you're washing and you feel a lump, I believe you better call the doctor tomorrow. You're messing with life. I mean, you are talking about dying. But we come down to the church house and we're talking about eternal life. We're going to ignore what we feel. We're going to ignore the clear signs. You see, this is a people that's been told. I would say, no doubt, that these ladies have been told multiple times through the years, you check yourself, miss. You check yourself, young lady. You check yourselves, older ladies. You check yourself and you know what feels normal. If there's anything that does not feel normal to you, you call the doctor. We want to look farther. We want to go deeper. We want to be sure. Isn't that right? Wouldn't you want to be sure? I mean, wouldn't you want to be sure about real salvation? Wouldn't you want to be sure? He says over in the 13th chapter of 2 Corinthians, examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? Oh, listen, just a little farther. Bear with us just another moment or two. Seeing many things, verse 20, seeing many things, here's an opportunity, here's a revelation. I'm seeing things about me that I've never known before. The doctor pulls it up on the screen. He says, look right here. Look right here. Here's the problem. Let me ask you. Am I going to say, Doc, would you work on that? Do you know somebody that can fix that? God comes by and says, right here's the problem. He points to our heart. He points to our head. He points to our thinking. He points to our blindness. And He says, here's something wrong with you. You know what I say? No, that ain't wrong with me. No, Doc, you got the wrong lady. You got the wrong man. You got the wrong person. Listen to what the book said. Seeing many things, but they observe not. Opening the ears, but he hear not. So God's revealed to us. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to stick our head in the sand and pretend like God didn't say anything. God's going to open our eyes and we're going to shut our eyes and pretend like we didn't see it. Who is this blind? Who is as blind that they would crucify the Prince of Life, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know who did that? You say it was the Romans. It was the Jews. It was the privileged. It was the people that had greater revelation than anybody else on the face of the earth. You know what you have today? You have a great, great revelation through the Word of God. But this people, this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes. You know what man does? Over in the book of Psalms, he said, he digged a hole and he digged a pit and he fell into the pit, and the net that he laid, his foot's hung in the net. You know what we do? We dig holes our own selves. Our own prejudice and our own thinking, we shut out the Word of God. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to fall in the pit. You're going to be hung in your own net. Listen, just a minute, another minute or two. This is a people robbed. Would it be my fault if I went downtown Marshall, downtown Asheville, parking lot at Walmart in Waynesville? I left my windows down and my wallet laying on the dash or on the console. Would that be a thief's fault that I'm robbed? No. Could you attribute that robbery to me? Really, would it not be my fault because I acted so ignorantly when I knew, know this, friend, there's a robber in the midst. There is a devil in the midst. There is a deceiver in the midst. What you better do is you better take the precautions God has given you, because you are going to be robbed and it's going to be your fault. Not of a wallet, not of a credit card, not of a vehicle, not of a home, not of a property, of my everlasting eternal soul. I'm going to lose my soul. Who is as blind? Who is as dead? They are all of them snared in holes. They are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey and none delivereth, for a spoil and none saith restore. You know something? In the prison house of deceit, you can die. You can dig you a hole to hide yourself from Nebuchadnezzar. You can dig you the hole right there. When you read the definition, it's the hole of a serpent. You know what you've done? You've hid yourself in a den of snakes. Just come to my mind, but that old movie, Rooster Cogburn. Remember where the young lady ended up? She ended up in a pit that's full of rattlesnakes. And she's thrashing around in that pit. They are in the hole of the serpent. Deceived by our own doings. In the hole and in the prison and in the pit of the deceiver. Who is as blind? I say it like this: who's as blind as the blessed?